The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Beyond, and hello everyone, my name is Jonathan Dornbush, and this is Podcast Beyond, IGN's weekly PlayStation show covering all the latest and greatest and the fiercest debates in the world of PlayStation. And boy, do we have an angry debate. It's going to probably be pretty cordial, but we do have some interesting thoughts on a big PlayStation topic. But before we get there, I'm joined this week by Mark Medina.
Woo! I
don't even think that you were picked up on the mic, Mark.
It's fine.
I didn't hear you at all.
I got nothing.
All right, cool.
I got nothing witty to say today.
Cool.
I'm mad today.
For anyone who is not watching the video version, I think he tried to do a big woo, and it didn't work.
Oh, that's so weird. You just tried to do it, and it cut out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it must be like a, I bet it's like a VMix thing. I bet it's like a thing, like if you hit a certain pitch, it cuts you off.
This is
everyone
a
in the audience
zone.
Is like, yeah, everyone in the audience is like, what's VMix? What's wooing? No excitement allowed on this podcast.
That's a Sims term, and we're not going to get into that because it gets pretty dicey and adult rated. But we're also joined this week by Jada Griffin.
Let me give it a try. Woo!
I heard the beginning and the end.
Yep, it started, and then you hit a certain decibel, and then it was like, enough. This is a no-nonsense. VMix is like a no-nonsense podcast.
It's like,
platform.
Hey, stay like, on it, track. Stay on track. Yep. Focus up. Talk about what you need to talk about.
Yeah.
Let's get this done. VMix is on the clock.
If you're wooing, yeah. you're not talking.
I was like, what are you going to rhyme that with? Because poo is the first thing that comes to my mind. It doesn't seem to really fit the situation. Right,
let's
now.
Start I over. Personally, Kate, wait, I Kate personally, start the podcast over. This is
hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome. What's up, everybody? Welcome to game. No, damn it, that's wrong too. Anyway, we do have a lot of actual fun PlayStation stuff to talk about. For those who may have missed it because it premiered on a day you may not be used to checking out Beyond, we did put up earlier this week a spoiler-free discussion of our thoughts on Horizon Forbidden West. If you didn't happen to see that already, please go check it out. It was a really fun discussion with this wonderful group. A lot of in-depth stuff, but kept it story spoiler-free, late game spoiler-free, did not want to ruin the experience for anyone, so please go check that out. I guess some spoilers for Horizon Zero Dawn in there, yep, because we talk about the setup, but other than that, go check that out if you haven't. And as I had mentioned on that show, if you're playing Horizon Forbidden West in the coming week when it comes out on February 18th, let us know, write into beyond@ign.com, give us your thoughts on it, and we want to read some of those on the show in the future weeks. But other than that, I think it's time. Oh no, I do also have to plug FanFest. IGN FanFest is this Saturday, February 19th. Jada, you're going to be in the comments the whole time.
Yep, talking and chatting and banning and hiding comments. There will be people that need it to happen, but I'll also be there. I'll be running polls. I'll be talking with people. I will, you know, I'm sure somebody will ask me what my lunch is, because I always get that question of what I'm having for lunch that day. So I will share my lunch. Probably going to be like a burrito. I'm not sure though.
I don't care why you would ever have to do that. There's never been a bad comment on the internet as far
there's
as I'm aware.
Never been. I know. Everybody is a saint on the internet. Like, the internet is only given to people who have proven their personal worth and score to the entire world. It's a morality contract. Yes.
Anyway, PlayStation. But go check out FanFest this Saturday, February 19th. Take a break from Horizon. Go check it out. We're going to have a ton of exclusives, awesome interviews, a whole big project that a ton of people have been working on, including Brian Altano, who's put a lot of work into it. So go check that out if you're looking forward to some hot, cool exclusives. But before we get there, and before we get to all of you playing Horizon Forbidden West, which I am very excited for everyone to get to, because I can't wait to talk about it more, we do want to actually have a discussion kind of prompted by the weird release week that we're in. We're going to touch on it a little bit later in the show, but if you didn't happen to see, Cyberpunk 2077 has officially been released, it seems. Cyberpunk got a sort of 1.5 patch update. Mark is doing a very slow clap. You can do it if you'd like.
I thought he was making a V.
Okay. But when I did it like this, yeah, nobody could see me because I'm in such a small rectangle. And so I was just like, this is now my shrug.
That's your shrug. we'll talk about PlayStation eventually. But no, with Cyberpunk coming out, it's now available. The PS5 version is available. It's a free upgrade. If you happen to have bought the PS4 version when it was available and not off and delisted from the PlayStation store. But that update is out. It does add some performance updates to the PS4, I believe, base version. But primarily, it's focused on getting that PS5 update out, the sort of new bells and whistles that comes with offering a bit closer to a PC-like experience, because as, you know, we discussed on the show way back when, and Mark and Jada, as you can both speak to, obviously the PC version was the more ideal version of what people wanted the game to be. It wasn't completely bug-free. Mm-hmm. People ran into a ton of problems, of course, but that was sort of the more realized experience of Cyberpunk. So, you know, it's now back out. It seems like a new renewal for the game, and we're going to talk about it a little bit, but it now throws an interesting game into the mix, because in this 2-week period, we have Cyberpunk 2077 being relevant again, Horizon Forbidden West coming out this Friday, and then Elden Ring coming out next Friday. That is three massive open world games, RPGs, tons of stuff to do. And probably, you know, you're going to think about whether you want to spend your time all on one and focused on one before moving on to the next, if you want to split between all of them. And one of the things that is often an element of big games like that and small games, especially on PlayStation, is something we actually haven't talked a lot about on the show in recent years, but is something I think about a ton, which is trophies. Obviously, trophies have been around for a long time, so I'm not going to get into the history of PlayStation trophies or anything like that. But we wanted to sort of talk about the current state of how we feel about PlayStation trophies, how some of you feel about trophies. Thank you to everyone who wrote in to me on Twitter when I asked for some responses. But we're kind of going to talk about like how they affect our game experience, what they add, maybe what they take away, what they distract from, what we feel the benefit of chasing trophies is, what trophy hunting is for those of us who like it, and what it isn't for those of us who don't, and also how that's changed over time. Especially, you know, going into these three games, they really bring up a balance. I was slacking Mark earlier before the show. I am in that weird case of like, I have been leaving the final story mission of Horizon actually hanging because I'm in that weird, like, well, if I do it, do I care about all the side stuff or do I need to do all the side stuff first? Or can I do it after and still enjoy it? Cause in the back of my head, I'm like, well, it's going to be to get the platinum, of course, at the end of the day is why I'm going to do all this stuff. So it's, I think it is fair to say, even for some people who don't love them, trophies have affected the way many of us play. It's not affected everyone, obviously. Some people play just fine without them. And we have comments about that, and I want to read all those different perspectives. But I think all of us on the show have engaged with trophies a bit, some more than others recently, perhaps. But we've all engaged and enjoyed or not enjoyed aspects of them. So I kind of wanted us to talk about that, especially as both of you have pointed out, you know, there were some comments a few weeks ago when we brought up trophies about, like, the nature of them. And it's something we want to discuss because it's probably a question lingering for a lot of people jumping into big games like this. So to start off, I kind of want to just begin with like the biggest, like, top level question of, as of right now, and also I guess your general history, do you enjoy trophy hunting? Is it something you obviously like make a part of your game? Jada, I'm going to start with you because I think for some in the audience, they could probably guess how you currently interact with trophies, but how do you feel about trophies currently?
I really love trophies. They kind of give me... I love the fact that they give me kind of a new way to look at a game sometimes. So, like, sometimes there's strategies and stuff you'll need to actually do to get certain trophies that you wouldn't even think to do in a game. Like, most people won't think to do in a game unless you, like, you know there's a trophy for it. Like, you know, having to line up three people and get a headshot, you know, through all three of them in certain games and stuff like that for a trophy. Like, that's not something that you're generally going to try and do on a regular, like, just like, I'm just going to try and line up as many people. Like, there's always videos of people doing that, but like when there's a trophy for it, you see more people trying to figure out tactics and doing stuff like that. Or it's like, there's a, other ones will have like wall run and then wall run twice and then drop kick somebody off of a building, which I think is one in like Dying Light 2. Like, you wouldn't even think to like maybe try that type of a combo, like naturally, but maybe some would. But yeah, I love trophies. The first thing I literally do whenever I load up a game is I look at the trophies that aren't hidden. Because, you know, I still like to keep some stuffs from being spoilered. Spoilered. That's the new word of the day.
Spoiled.
From being spoiled.
Shield long and imbo- spoiled. Shield-
yeah, that's right. Yeah, spoilered is actually a part in Horizon Forbidden West. If you haven't gotten it yet, you haven't played it enough.
Spoilers.
But yeah, no, I do end up looking at the hidden ones as well towards the end, but it's kind of like a quick glance just to see if it's like complete chapter 13 or defeat blah 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 person, and I like, as soon as I see that, I'm like, okay, that's just very story specific stuff, I'm not going to really focus on it, I burn it from my memory and I just play through it focusing on maybe the little side objectives and stuff like that that I have to know I need to grab. Like, it'll tell you like, grab all the these, you know, audio diaries. I'm like, okay, there's audio diaries I need to keep an eye out for, because nothing is worse for me in trophies hunting is playing a game that doesn't have a like chapter select or a way to easily go back to a previous section, and they don't like make a collectible obvious as part of a collectible thing until like a later stage, like a second stage. Like, sure, the first stage is probably really obvious sometimes, but people miss it from time to time. And then, like, you're like, oh, I missed this collectible. Like, great.
It is funny to think how those things go hand in hand. I do think I feel like at least in modern games, I've seen more of a rise of chapter select and things like that.
Yep.
Probably in part because they know how much people care about that stuff now. Obviously, with Steam achievements and Xbox achievements as well. Like, this isn't just a PlayStation part of the system. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love chapter select. Every game needs a chapter select.
But yeah, I like, it's safe to say, obviously, you know, talking over, I think when we came back from break, you ran down how many platinums you got. And so it's
11.
It's my
God. I don't have enough fingers. Impressive.
Which brings your total to what? Like 50 something,
to 12.
Right?
It was at 50 as of then. I think I'm at 51 now. I don't remember what my most recent one was, but yeah, I might still be at 50. I haven't been like on a super trophy hunting kick because there's been so many games and it's hard to sit down and platinum a trophy when you're playing Dying Light and Horizon and Sifu. You're playing all these games. Yep. I've almost got the Sifu platinum. I'm like probably, I think, 6 trophies away from that.
Dying Light is one also to bring in too, obviously, as a recent open world game as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to even get a few more in March, as we've talked about, like to a certain extent. I think things like Tiny Tina's even will be like that. GTA 5, obviously, when it comes out for a PS5 and everything.
Ghostwire Tokyo
as well seems to be in that vein. So yeah, we're in a very big open world thing, and platinum hunting is a thing that everyone does. I'm trying to find out what my total platinum count is at the moment. But Mark, while I do that, what is your current feeling on trophies, and how has it changed over time?
Yeah, so it kind of goes back and forth. I had brought this up on a episode like a few months ago, and there was a lot of comments saying like, wow, I agree with Mark in the sense that like sometimes trophies, I like trophies a lot. That said, they stress me out more than anything sometimes for a multitude of reasons. Not just because some are hard to get, but also because they change what platform I play on a game.
Nice.
Okay, it is 50.
Nice.
They change what platform I play a game on. They change how I play a game. And I very recently discovered that I'm starting to care less and less, right? Like, it was one of those things where I got one of my most recent trophies was, what's it called? What's that game? Control Ultimate Edition. A game that I didn't super love, but when it came to PS5, I ended up playing it. And I was like, whoa, I want to get the platinum for this. The platinum for that game is not that hard, but there's one thing that I did that made it way harder than it needs to be, which is I don't do what Jada does, which is look at the trophies before I play.
Mm.
And one of them is there are these I forget like your role in the game, you know, you're like
the director
or something like that. Yeah. So there are these like director missions, which is like kill this type of hiss with this type of gun type of deal. And it's like, or it's like, kill them in this certain location. And those are just meant to always kind of be on in the background, right? Well, I never really had one going, and I got to the end of the game, and at the end of Control, the hiss are kind of hard to come by. You have to just run around until you run into a room and it turns red, and you're like, okay, here they are. So I had to just grind doing those, which meant running around the old house trying to find hiss.
Yeah.
And it really, really killed my enjoyment for the game, because I played through the game. I had this super fun time. And then to just get these like one or two trophies, I spent like 20 hours just running around. And by the end of it, I was like, what? Why did I do this? And I posted on Twitter. I got the platinum for Control, and it got like 98 likes. And I'm like, that's why I did this. So I could get 98 likes on Twitter. Awesome. That makes me feel so good. And sarcastically, of course. And so I thought to myself, yeah, cool. I have the Control platinum, and I think I have like 17 platinums. But at the end of the day, I'm like, who cares, right? Like, who really cares? The answer is nobody. You care more about your own platinums than anybody else cares. And it's kind of this thing, right? Like, the original cast of Beyond, you know, Greg and Colin, they always had this thing where they were getting so many trophies. They each have like 100 platinums, and it kind of created this, I don't want, for lack of a better term, kind of like cult-like dedication to platinum trophies. And so I kind of became that same way. I'm like, I need to platinum every single game I played. And it really, really drained me and really made me feel like I just do not care about this anymore. So I like them. And mm-hmm. if it's easy to get, I will get it. But I am basically refusing to let it, you know, diminish my enjoyment habits. Of a game.
For sure. Yep. Yeah. I would say I am more active in my trophy hunting than you probably at this point, but also feel somewhat of the same way of like, the minute it stops being fun and starts being a chore, unless I'm literally like a single trophy away from my platinum, I have come to the like, I am good if I don't get this one. Like, I'm currently at 30 platinum trophies. There's probably, you know, I could probably look at another 20 to 30 games and be like, okay, if I put maybe 5 more hours into those, I could probably get it. But like, why?
That's exactly how I do my end of the year lists. I look at which games I'm like close to, and I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. I'm gonna revisit all these great games that I loved. I'm gonna spend like 8 to 10 hours with all of them. Some of them I have to do a full playthrough. Yeah. Like Hellblade, I had to do a full playthrough because they don't have a chapter select, and I missed 3 collectibles.
Oof,
so I had to do a full playthrough on that one. But yeah, that's exactly how I do it. But yes, please continue, Jonathan.
No, I was just going to say, but it's funny, Mark, that you mentioned that, because my absolutely, like, as a listener of Beyond, I think before working at IGN, I think absolutely influenced my excitement for trophies. And not that I, like, begrudge that, but it absolutely was like this exciting potential thing, because there was something to trophies that felt different from achievements, because it has a level system to it. It has, you know, these different tiers of things rather than just a random number associated with it. It's like, oh, this achievement is worth 20.
Right. Yep. Where with achievements, I don't know what an impressive number is. If you told me a gamer score of 60,000 was like top tier, I'd be like, awesome. If you were like, no, actually it's 500,000, I would believe either one. I have no idea where we're at as far as like, and the thing is with achievements is this isn't a section where I'm going to, you know, discount anything Xbox gamers do when it comes to hunting for achievements, right? But there is something about getting that platinum where it means you did almost every single thing in that game, where you can get a ton of achievements and then you're like, whoa, there's this one I don't want to go for. That's fine. I'm just going to move on because I can get more gamer score here. And so it becomes more about just like how many things you play versus like, Jada, you can say you 100%ed, basically, not every platinum requires you to 100% a game, but like you did a ton of stuff in 50 games. It's so quantifiable.
No, PlayStation trophies achievements. They are absolutely, I think, and I think that's why I was more interested in them, especially once I started, like once I got a PS3 and started doing that. I think fundamentally the idea that it is, I have platinumed a game feels it, like, obviously you can say I got all of the gamer score in a game, or I 1,000 out of 1,000 a gamer score of a game, but it, like,
right,
there is something to saying I platinumed it that has a feel, like, it's silly, but it, it does have, it evokes that sense of I did the whole game. I have done the entire game.
If they did one thing where they were like, you get a gold star for getting all the achievement points in that game, it would completely change it for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
just getting 1,000 score just doesn't feel as triumphant.
Yeah. So, you know, Xbox Gamer Score has been around obviously longer than PlayStation Trophies has, because that started way back in the day. There was even, like, I think one game that had like 307. I can't remember what it was, weird, but I remember some people like completing games and they had like this weird seven at the end of their gamer score, and like, how do I fix this now? Like, but yeah, I, you know, that's the, I think that's part of where Xbox has kind of gotten a little confusing, is because when it comes to that, like, that feeling of fully completing a game, is because they have these games, like, I think Halo is like 1600 or something like that, and it's, so it's like, it becomes really weird to get to this point where it's like, okay, is it just each achievement is worth more points, or is there more content? Like, you, it's really hard to just to quantify at that point. I, for me, what I like to think of with my platinum trophies is hard drives. I'm all digital. I've been all digital since like the first year of the PS4. For me, when I platinum a game, it means, cool, I can remove this game off my hard drive and free up space. So, like, it literally is, once I get the platinum trophy on a lot of games, I retire them. There's some of them that stay on my PlayStation. Like, I still have Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart on my PS5 because I love that game, and I'm going to go back and replay it again down the road. But whenever I'm looking for, like, oh, I need to clear up space, I look at my platinum trophy list. I'm like, oh, I don't need this on here anymore. And it, you know, it goes into the digital graveyard.
Can I just say, like, that is this weird mental thing that I also just can't get beyond, right? Like, I platinumed Rift Apart and both Spider-Man games. And last Christmas came around, and I really wanted to play Miles Morales because the game is weirdly nostalgic, right? The PlayStation 5 came out, Miles Morales came with it. It came out during Christmas time. The game is... It's the best Christmas game, and I was like, man, I really want to play Miles Morales, and I don't know, I played like the first hour, and I was like, well, I already have the platinum, so why am I playing this for enjoyment? And I'm like, what am I even saying to myself? Of course I'm playing it for enjoyment. It's a video game. But some part of my head just couldn't get over the fact that I was like, there's no reason for me to be playing this because I already have the platinum, and I'm like, that's such a dumb way to think about that.
There is a, like, fundamental thing that if you do focus on only trophy chasing as, like, sort of your main reason for playing all your games, I think, like, if you're doing it for some of your games because you find fun from it, that's one thing. But I think the second it starts to take away fun, it's important to take a step back from it. Like, obviously, Jada, like, you going for all those games at the end of the year it doesn't seem to erode your enjoyment of playing games in any way. And so, like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, that seems to still be an enjoyable thing for you, and that's good. But I feel like the second it stops being that, and it feels like you're doing it out of necessity, it then becomes like a, whoa, well, what am I doing this really for? Is, I think, the big question people end up asking themselves.
Yeah, I think this year into year will be like year four of doing trophy sprints, and like, I've been picking up the pace each year. Like I said, last year I got 11. I think the year before that I got 7, and the year before that I got 5.
Wild.
And so it's just, you know, and it's all over, like it's kind of a nebulous time period. Like, this year I literally set aside 2 weeks to only play those types of games to do that, and I think like the year before that I did like the last 11 days of the year or something. It's just, it's a real nebulous, just basically my countdown to the end of the year. It's how I celebrate my end of the year. One of my, like, my, I think for me personally, it's a kind of a, it hits on like a childhood memory for me, is like, growing up, like, New Year's was very much a thing where my parents would go out, and I was the oldest child, so I would be stuck babysitting my younger siblings, and so I would be there playing games, and I would just try to finish games before the year ended. And so, like, I have a very fond memory of sitting there playing Ape Escape 1 on the PS1 back in the day, trying to finish that. And this actually is a good memory card story. I should have saved that for memory cards, but
come on.
I know. I didn't even think about it. It just
marked. It's a dynamic memory card. This is perfect. Exactly. It's organic.
Dynamic. Yeah. It's organic.
Except for that, we mentioned it a bunch, so it's no longer organic.
yeah. But yeah, and so, like, I think that kind of, you know, from, like, what was I? I was, like, 10, 11, 12 years old at that point. And so, yeah, like, it's just something that I've gotten used to doing for New Year's. It's kind of a New Year's tradition for me, is I love playing games and trying to finish games. And I've just kind of extended that to trophy hunting at the end of the year, because it gives me kind of a, like, a guide, and what I like, it helps me kind of structure my end of the year plans, which is really fun for me personally, because otherwise I'm pretty chaotic and it's just kind of whatever happens, happens. Sure. And so, you know, anytime I can add chaos, I can add structure and organize my chaos, I enjoy it.
Well, and I think, like, to speak to both of what you're saying, like, Jade, on your end, and I sort of feel both simultaneously often when it comes to trophies. It's like, on the one hand, it one offers you guideposts and signs of, like, okay, what is the structure kind of going to be of my overall game experience here if I want to pursue that? And then on the other hand, as you were saying earlier, like, I think the best, and we'll get into a little bit of, like, good and bad trophies and trophy lists, like, the best ones encourage you to see more of the game, to try more of the game, to try things you might not have otherwise. There are, you know, versions of that that aren't as great when it's not something you want to do, but when it encourages you to give something a try, and we can talk about sort of some of the evolutions of lists, those are totally great. But yeah, like, Mark, when you've beaten a game and you're doing the trophies and it feels like you're just doing them for the sake of doing it, and the act of chasing those things isn't fun, it then brings up those questions of, like, well, is this then dampening my overall enjoyment of a game? And it's a very, like, mental internal decision every person has to make when they make that call. But I've totally been on both sides of it, where it's like,
yeah, I think we're about to talk about, like, ones that we loved and ones that we didn't. And it's like, yeah, I have examples of both of those for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I do want to talk about both those. I did want to start off though also with a couple people's general thoughts about trophies from the audience, and thank you to everyone who wrote in. Walt said, honestly, didn't care about them, and then I started listening to Beyond. Got my first platinum with Chicory, and I'm on track to platinum Persona 5 Royal. Doubt I'll do it often, but if I like the game and the stars align, I might go for it for now.
That's such a weird, super... you're like, I'm gonna do Chicory and then I'm gonna do Persona 5. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
that's like polar opposite. It feels polar opposite.
He's just
opposite.
Like, you know what? I'm going all in.
I love it and I respect it. Walt, like, big ups to you. I haven't even started Persona 5 Royale because there's so many RPGs I'm playing right now, and I really hate that I haven't played that game, because I know it's so good and I want to play it and I know I'll platinum it, but man.
Jada, don't you worry. I'll show you a podcast that will help you as you play along. The thing about also, like, Persona 5 even brings up just a great example of, like, the base Persona 5 list is really in depth and really hard to get unless you're really focused on guides work and kind of the minutia of Persona collecting and just doing so much. And it's almost impossible to get on a first run unless you're really, really focused and dedicated to it. And usually I like to play the first run of a game just kind of however I'm going to play it. And whereas the Persona 5 Royal list, I think what's really good about it, and let me find, there was actually a viewer comment about it, but essentially it's not forcing you to replay the game multiple times. You can achieve everything pretty easily within a single go. I'll grab that in a second when we talk about specific.
You know, it's funny. It's like with when you're saying with like playing Persona 5 the way that you like to just play it the first way through. So, like, you know, Dying Light 2 came, you know, this big announcement, like 500 hours, you know, to finish everything. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be very specific with how I'm playing Dying Light 2. So my first playthrough of Dying Light 2, I am only choosing the dialogue option that is furthest to the right every time in any discussion for decisions.
Oh my gosh.
So it's actually a lot of fun, because there was this one person who crossed me and I was like, oh, I want to kill him. But if the option on the right is to spare him, I'm going to spare him. I spared him. And then I went to another person and they asked me to rat him out on the right. And I was like, well, I guess I'm ratting him out anyways. So he's getting his comeuppance either way. So, like, it was a nice kind of balance, but it's very organized chaos. And I love it. It's, you know, it's also great because I'm playing co-op with my partner and he's doing different options. So I get to kind of see both whenever I join his world versus when he joins my world. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of fun to do it that way. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Moving on to just a couple others, and then I do want to get into some specifics from us. Samuel had said, trophies have shifted how I play games, even what games I play to an extent. And this is kind of what you were talking about, Mark. Like, it has absolutely affected, I'm going to buy most of my games on PlayStation because I care about my trophies more than I do my achievements. Or even if, like, it's cheaper on Steam or it's on Switch. Or, The perfect trophy list can't be a cakewalk, a challenge that elicits different styles of play, but remains achievable to anyone. Samuel really liked Guardian's list, but didn't love Sifu's as sort of a comparison. And Andrew said, not interested in them at all. Never even opened the area to look at what I have. All I know is I got one platinum through natural play on The Last of Us Part 2, which is kind of amazing.
That is very amazing.
That is really impressive, Andrew.
That is very impressive.
Because that's like... Some of those collectibles are really hidden in that game.
Yeah, the coins for Abby are just like so ridiculous.
I think you might be good at trophy hunting, Andrew. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, you might want to just actually think about giving it a serious go.
Yeah. All they do is change the way people play games and seem to make games a grind and less fun. And I think that like that seems to be, at least for me, the biggest takeaway. And Mark, let me know. I don't want to like mince words or anything, but when trophies start to feel like chores and not fun, I feel like that's when the issue arises. And it's true, I think, of any system like this, of an achievement system, of trophies, of Steam achievements, anything like that. Like the second you do a thing and you're not enjoying it, it's like these are literally things we're doing for entertainment.
To respond to the first guy who said, you know, it sometimes justifies where I play the game. Like I specifically want to play this on PlayStation, or like what games I play, right? I have two examples of that. The first being, I did not get a PlayStation 5 early. I got a PlayStation 5 on launch day with everybody else, but I did get an Xbox 2 weeks before launch. And with that,
the for only work purposes, like you didn't steal it off the back of a truck, just to be clear.
No, I did steal it off the back of a truck.
It wasn't off a truck. It was a cargo plane.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice? One NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married. Let's hear them talk about it. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cyber criminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Lane?
I relived the first Fast and the Furious movie. You know, I drove under a truck. I put LEDs under my car.
Yeah,
that's how it went down. No, it was for work. And so I had the Xbox, and I had the only like next gen game I had was Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I played like the first couple hours of it, and I was like, this is really cool, but maybe I'll want to get the platinum one day. So I just didn't play it. That Series X just sat there because I was like, I want to play Assassin's Creed, and this is super fun, but I might as well wait, which was, I was a damn fool. Nobody got the platinum for Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It's impossible. Nobody's ever even beaten that game. And so that was one of those things where I was like, how dumb of me, right? I should have spent those 2 weeks playing this awesome game on this really awesome platform, but instead I was like, no, I have to wait until I get it on PlayStation, the real platform, so I can get a platinum trophy. I'm never even going to beat Assassin's Creed Hall. What was I thinking? And then the other one was...
Of course, just to quickly, I was curious. This is obviously a smaller sample size and not the entire player base, but according to PSN profiles, at least, the 1.5% of their users have the platinum for Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Wow. That's insane.
That sounds about right for an Assassin's Creed game.
And 1.6 of them have beaten it. Wait, I don't know if that math adds up. Anyways. The other one was Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk is, everybody knows that the game is leagues better on PC. And I have a pretty good PC. It's got a 2080 Ti. The processor's like a couple years old. Like, it can play most things better than a PS5, right? But I still felt weirdly compelled to play Cyberpunk on PS5 because even though it's like this broken game at launch, now it's better because it got the new update. It was like, but what if I want to get the platinum one day? I leave these options open for games that I'm never going to get the platinum for. So like, why am I doing this? Why am I not just playing on a platform that I have access to or is a better version? So
let's get you on the therapist couch and let's really work through this. Let's really work through this.
Yeah. Mistakes were made.
That was such
so
nice
and then and then anyways. And then yeah, as far as like games that like I just completely stopped enjoying, the two examples I can think of are Rift Apart and Ghost of Tsushima. I had already mentioned Control. Ghost of Tsushima was a game that once I beat it, I was completely done. I do not love that game as much as other people do, but it's not that hard of a platinum trophy to get. But it requires you to do every side quest, and every side quest in that game is a walking quest. And I was so over it by the end of it. I got the platinum, but it was one of those like I was like, I'm so done with this. And then Rift Apart, I really like. There's one trophy, though, that I really hated, which was you hit the purple crystals and it takes you into like, you know, the other realm or whatever.
Yeah.
The one where it's like, you know, and there's a trophy where you have to hit all of them. Apparently one of them's missable, I believe, or they patched it and made it where it's not anymore. But at the time it was missable. Mm-hmm. But also there's no way to track which ones you've done. So I'm just running around hitting these things, and it took forever. And you can find on Twitter where I was just like, I'm done with this. I do not care. Why am I running around? I could be playing other things. Why am I running around trying to hit this one thing? But the whole, like, I have one trophy to go through the platinum, you know, ended up pushing through, and I ended up getting it. But, like, I hated that. And I'm like, why did I do that? Like, why did I spend all these hours doing this?
That was the bears in Rift Apart, because they're not tracked either.
The bears. Mm-hmm.
I think especially with, and we can, I think it's good to talk about specific lists, especially on the whole with PlayStation. I think in general, PlayStation's first party games, if you like the game, I think the lists have gotten much better in the last couple of years. Like, obviously, like you were saying, if Ghost didn't gel with you, that's not a fun platinum to get. Whereas, like, I really loved Ghost, and so that platinum was a fun time for me. But, like, if you're not
into Ghost... Yeah, if you can't stop playing the game, then that's a great platinum. Exactly. I was just over it, so it was just this personal thing where I'm like, I'm over this game. Why am I still playing this?
This
fake trophy.
So my final, like, my final bunch of trophies, I had Jin in the... his like no armor where he's just running around in a loincloth.
Yeah.
And the final trophy that I had forgot to go do was like paying respect at a grave.
Oh,
and
no.
So like my final trophy, my platinum trophy, like little 15 second clip is me playing a flute in a loincloth at this dude's grave.
And that's fantastic.
Like,
I've actually done that.
Of that on Twitter when this episode comes out, please.
Okay,
because
it
takes a cool like video at the end. I've actually done this thing where I'm like, I want the platinum to be like a cool video.
Yeah. Yep. I want it
to be like something cool because I remember when I got the platinum trophy for Assassin's Creed Origins. It's like this very unceremonious. It was like the credits rolling. Yeah, it was like read everything in this notebook, and so it's like the video is just me like clicking something, and I'm like, it's like bop, and I'm like, oh, that could have been like so much more like triumphant. It's just like a video of me just being like, I'm done. Don't ever talk to me again.
Go ahead, John.
No, you go ahead, Jada.
I was going to say, I think my favorite like one I've seen like from people online is somebody did a Guardians platinum, and it was with the Storm Riders in the bar scene. And it's like Star-Lord and that alien like singing into the gun, and there's Storm Riders, and the platinum trophy pops.
See, that's perfect.
That is so amazing.
That's
like,
great.
Yeah.
I wish mine was that good.
I know. My Rift Apart platinum, I think, is... I needed a final bear that's like trapped in a very dark jail cell scene, and I hit that, and my back is turned to the camera, and it's like, there's the photo you got. Congrats.
It
really does sometimes bring the to light, like, why did I do that? But like, on the whole, I think if you're enjoying a PlayStation game, PlayStation has really been making their lists better.
Achievable.
Yeah, because on the whole, I would say there are definitely some standout problem ones that I don't love. Jada, I am curious from you and Mark, just from like when you have been trophy hunting, my least favorite trophies, at least, and like I do think there are different opinions on this, but at the end of the day, for me, a trophy list isn't something that should require me to play through the game too many times and multiple times just to get a single extra trophy or something like that.
Yep.
I think
Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah, I did. Like, I think the Miles Morales list, the thing about Spider-Man and Insomniac in general is I think the Spider-Man 1 the trophy list is great, except for doing all of the crimes. Doing every crime, 5 crimes in every district is not a fun thing to have to do.
You guys are no. You guys are just not taking your job as Spider-Man seriously. Then, if you're not stopping crime every time you're swinging by, you are not being Spider-Man to the full extent.
I got like 30 backpacks to collect.
You are not taking the great power comes great responsibility motto to heart. Then shame on you. I'm cutting you off. No.
No. Left a wing of vultures.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm the host now.
I'm hosting now.
What is this? This chair doesn't feel as good anymore. No, it's like... I did almost every crime, and then I still had like 30 to do at the end of the game. And so it was one of those things where it was like a grind that didn't feel as fun, but the rest of the list is really great. And then Miles Morales, I think that list is really good, but then you have to do a new game plus run. And like, it's a great story and I didn't mind replaying, but I did that run to get the platinum. I did not do that run because I wanted to at that moment in time, do the run, but it was like,
I skipped every cutscene and I just blasted through the game as fast as I could. Yeah.
And then with Rift Apart, I think it's overall a really great list, except for the one or two, like you were saying, that don't track. Because so much of that game does track what you do, and maybe it's been updated, forgive me, I have not looked, but like they weren't doing that at launch window time, and so it was good luck if you got the bears, good luck if you got the crystals, and obviously this is a very small thing, we're not saying like it's a terrible game now, but like in terms of a trophy list, they got so much right, and so to have those like one or two that aren't great is a bit of a bummer. It's the same thing for like, I think God of War's list is pretty fantastic.
Yep.
But if you don't want to have to go chase down every raven, I can see why that would be annoying for you to do after you've done this amazing quest.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I literally looked at the God of War trophies yesterday, and more people have beaten all 9 of the Valkyries, including the Valkyrie Queen, than have found all of Odin's ravens. Odin's ravens collection is literally the least percentage of trophy collected, minus the platinum, obviously, because you have to get that one to get that one. But yeah.
I think because that game, so much of it, and is similar with like Miles Morales and Spider-Man and Rift Apart, so many of them, I think, integrate the side stuff in a way that is interesting to want to pursue, but the ravens definitely are sort of like a, well, I'm just going to go hit these ravens because I know it's a thing I need to achieve, is how it feels. Mm-hmm. But anyway, those are just a few of the lists off the top of my head that I think like have been really good from PlayStation recently and show progression in the space, I guess, to show what people can do from them. But Jade, I'll start with you. Like, are there any particular recent lists that you've really loved or hated?
Yeah, so, I mean, I already mentioned Guardians. I loved Guardians for their platinum list. There's, you know, some of them is like literally collecting collectibles, but it's like they don't require you to collect every single collectible. It's like 65% of all the collectibles on one page because there's multiple pages of collectibles. And I thought that was a really cool way to do it. And I was one of the trophies I missed on my first playthrough because when I got to Nowhere, I didn't go to the collector's museum where there is like 40 collectibles, probably like 20, but like there is so many collectibles in the Tavon's collector's museum. And I just totally missed that part in my first playthrough somehow. And so when I went through a second time to get the platinum, I was like, oh, this is so cool. They've got like Stan Lee's glasses and like comic books and like all these other really cool like lore things. And I was like, I really love this because I wouldn't have seen this if I didn't have to come back here and look for this for the platinum. And Guardians is a very achievable platinum. There's nothing that's really difficult, I would say, about any of the trophies. Maybe some of like figuring out how to do some of the like very specific combos with one of the other Guardians, because you have to do specific things against specific enemies in certain areas. Like, I think my final trophy was called Groot Canal, which I love puns and trophies. Trophies need to be like almost every trophy. But like, you have to like use Groot's like special command, not one of his abilities that are mapped, but like you have to trigger a special command against this very specific enemy called a Charger that you see like once or twice. And so like if you miss it like on that fight, you have to come back through and replay that chapter. Thankfully, Guardians has chapter select, so it's not that big of a hassle. But yes, it is something that it's easy to miss and some people will miss. One that I really liked was Life is Strange, True Colors. This platinum trophy was such a joy to hunt down over the tail end of last year because all the collectibles added to the story. They gave context. They played cutscenes. They gave like voices in your head of sensing like memories and feelings from this object that were like recorded into it. And it feeds into the lore. It like builds upon Alex's character. Like, it is so well done. It was such a joy going through and getting the platinum trophy for Life is Strange: True Colors. The story was amazing. I really loved the character development in this game. The collectibles were not like hard to find. You did have to like look for them, but like looking at the trophy list, you can, thankfully PlayStation has where you can just track like 5 trophies at once. Yeah. And it's like, okay, each chapter is like, okay, I need to find a check. Okay, I need to find a camera. Okay, I need to find a coin. Like, and so I know what I'm looking for, because the trophies tell you what they are. They're not hidden trophies. And it doesn't, like, looking at the trophies doesn't tell you what they get when you find them. It just tells you, hey, this is the object you should be looking for in chapter 1. You should be looking for these 3 objects because they're going to give you more story. They're going to give you a better understanding of what's happening in this town as you've moved into this town. That's really great. And then, you know, there's, like, always the difficulty trophies. Like, say, Sifu, completing the game under 25, that's, you know, that can be a little tough for people who, you know, aren't, you know, perfect at, like, their dodges and blocks or parries.
I will never do that.
I'm pretty close to it. One of the other ones that I really liked and almost kept me back from getting a platinum was Titanfall 2's Training Gauntlet. This is like the very first stage, or like the tutorial stage, and you have this like gauntlet, and you know, people are still speed running this, trying to get that world record. Like, up to last year, I've seen people like broke it like twice in 2 weeks or something. But you have to finish it in under 33.65 seconds. And it's like this 6-room gauntlet where you have to shoot everybody while keeping your momentum. And like, you have to basically do a near perfect run to do that. And when I sat down with that game and I saw that, I knew that trophy was there. I was like, I am not going to play past the tutorial unless I can prove to myself that I can get close enough to like work at getting this trophy. Otherwise, I'm not going to get the platinum in Titanfall 2. So I'm not going to play it. And that's a really kind of like weird way to look at games. But because I'm such a completionist from like PS2 days, like I was like, I got to fill up my bestiary. I got to collect every item. I got to do all this. I love like experiencing everything a game has. So being able to do that in Titanfall 2, making sure that I was able to, you know, master that movement to run that gauntlet in time, it was really rewarding for me. But I know there's a lot of people out there that will probably not ever get the platinum in Titanfall 2 because of that one trophy, because it is difficult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just to quickly touch on, in terms of like some trophies that I think prohibit people, a few people had responded, but I'm pulling up Frankie's comment. Said, I love trophies, just hate games that have trophies that force you to play multiplayer. And that, I think the biggest problem that comes with multiplayer trophies, other than, you know, play a match of multiplayer, but like when you get too deep, it is really, really skill-based. And if multiplayer isn't the only reason for the game, that can become frustrating. If you're not, you know, the top percent of players. But also if a game is old and the multiplayer servers are gone.
Yep.
I was trying to get Death Stranding's platinum, and at the same time, me and my friend Aaron, he was playing Watch Dogs 2 trying to get its platinum, and the last couple ones were like, it was like try to get an NPC to throw up on you and stuff like that. And so, but there was a lot where it was like there's a few multiplayer trophies. I don't remember what specifically he needed to do, and it was like just finding people that are playing Watch Dogs 2 on PS4 to like get them to, you know, like that's really really hard. Like it's just finding people to play the game was tough, and then trying to do this thing because like Watch Dogs Legion at this point is kind of old, so he's going back even further. And there's this guy on he's a YouTuber, he does like PlayStation stuff, and he jumps into old lobbies and like, hey, you're playing Grand Theft Auto 5 on PS3, why are you playing this on PS3 still? And it's like, I love those because it's like, it's so funny to see these old games that still have these like very tiny communities.
There's one that I looked up yesterday that's pretty bad for online, and it was Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3. You have to win 10 ranked matches in a row.
Oh my god.
And it's just like, yes, that is definitely doable, but with skill-based matchmaking, ideally as you play 10 matches you should be going up against harder and harder opponents. And as you, like, say you get 8 wins in a row, that boosts your skill rating, which now you need that. And if you lose on your 9th match, now you got to play against 10 harder opponents.
Crushing.
And so, like, it's...
I would not even...
Yeah, so, like, that's one of the ones I wouldn't even bother, just because it's... I loved Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and I played a ton of it. But, like, it's just one of those things where it wasn't... It detracted from the fun. It was one of those ones that for me that it started to detract from the fun, because it was like I would get so frustrated when I get to 8 or 9 wins and I drop a combo in match 10 and I get punished hard and I lose a match. And it's just like, cool, I just spent the last 45 minutes whooping everybody else and then I screw up one time. So I totally can understand the frustration for people with online trophies.
No, totally. Go ahead, Mark.
I was just gonna I didn't want to move on without me being able to talk about my favorite platinum ever.
Yes,
which is Astro's Playroom, because it kind of goes back to what you were saying about Guardians. Is Astro's is already like a really special game for me. I've talked about it a million times, where it's like all of my friends got a PS5 on day one and we all just like screen shared and played this game together. I always forget that game's not a multiplayer game, because I played it in such a multiplayer fashion. We were always just playing together. And that is one of those just like perfect, you get the platinum once you've done everything. And that is a game that you want to do everything in. And so, you know, that it's just a, man, what a fun platinum. But again, it harks back to this thing where it's like, I've never replayed the game because I have the platinum. And it's a shame, because it's such a like charming adventure to go through, that I need to just get over that mental block and be like, I need to just play this game to play this game again. Not because I didn't get the platinum, or not because I can't get the platinum again.
For sure. No, I mean, I think speaking to a lot of what we've all been saying, and just before like general thoughts, I think one of the other things that frustrates a lot of people that I saw. Joseph mentioned it, and a few other people specifically about Uncharted. Difficulty-based achievements can be really frustrating for people, especially if there's like five or six of them. It's great when they stack. I'd say games definitely got better about that over time, but the act of having to potentially play a game two or three times when you want to play a lot of different games, but you have this thing where you're like, I need to get the trophy, can be a frustrating feeling. And I know some people out there are probably saying, like, then just don't play it. But that's kind of why we're talking about it, is like trophies have rewired the way we think about games a bit, and achievements and all that stuff. I think, you know, just like the totality of it, even where we're all at with trophies right now, and it seems like Mark, you'll collect them as you go, but it seems right now, forgive me if I'm mistaken, but you're not really going to go after too many platinums unless you're loving the game and loving what the platinum is going to make you do for a game.
There's just too much to play right now. I'm in the same boat as you. I have finished Horizon, and we've already talked about how much we love that game, but there is this kind of like inside baseball thing that people probably don't understand, but like Horizon's not out yet, so there's no way to see its trophy list. I think there's a way on PS4. I'm pretty sure there's a way to like view details of a game, and it'll show you its trophy list, but on PS5 it's not there as far as I know, and so there's no way for me to know how close I am to the platinum. But also, like, Elden Ring is out next week, and I love Horizon. I've played it a lot for work, and now I'm at this point where I'm like, am I going to then see the trophy list tomorrow, because that's when we find out what the trophy list is when the game comes out tomorrow, and discover that I'm close? If I'm not close, then the platinum will probably happen later this year, because I don't feel compelled anymore to play the game over something like Elden Ring, right? Because we're gonna get Elden Ring soon, and I would rather move on to that, and then that's gonna bleed into Tiny Tina, and that's gonna bleed into Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yep.
I would rather play more games than sit here and grind a game that I feel like I've gotten enough of.
Yeah, like you have enjoyed what you've played, and if that grind doesn't entice you, that totally makes sense. Yeah. And Jada, what about for you? Like, as you go to continue just wrecking platinums, what is your sort of like focus at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably gonna like follow Mark's suit, and I'll probably like depending on where I'm at with the trophy, when the trophy list shows up tomorrow, I'm definitely not nearly as close as probably both of you guys are with Horizon, just because I've been doing all the side quest stuff and like clearing portion of the map by section of the map.
You're probably closer then.
Maybe.
You probably have less trophies, but are closer to getting all of them.
Yeah, probably. Right. That's probably the case, because, you know, there's probably a lot that pop for just story moments that I just don't have that you guys do. But yeah, no, I'm definitely going to platinum Horizon. I platinumed the first one, so I'm definitely going to platinum this one. It's definitely worthy of my time for me. But I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat or lie. I'm super excited for Elden Ring, and I'm definitely going to sprinkle Elden Ring in between my time of playing, of getting the platinum for Horizon, because I love Souls games, and I cannot wait to go online and, you know, play with some friends and, you know, invade some other people, maybe invade some friends, you know, you never know which if you're going to get helpful Jada or hurtful Jada in your Elden Ring games.
Absolutely sounds like a threat to Mark.
100%.
I'm glad you
read between the lines there.
I totally agree. I'm really excited to go for the Horizon Platinum. The Russian release of games makes me wonder if I'll finish it before the next big game, because that's just kind of the nature of it. But especially if you love platinum, like trophy hunting, and you are only getting a couple games a year, it can give you those signposts of what to go for, and can be really fun that way. Like I do love checking out the trophy list. I do love going after them, but I have kind of gotten to a place where it's like the second it starts to feel like work and not a thing that I'm doing for the fun of it, I try to take a step back from it.
There's one thing I need to mention before, I don't know if we're moving on, but I have to mention, yes. I now need to humanize this conversation.
Yes.
Ready? Okay. So there is no doubt, right? Horizon is not for sale. You cannot buy that game until tomorrow. and yet we all
copies.
Right. And yet we all three have it, right? So yep. There's no question that we received a code for this game, a game that we did not pay for. Paying for a game does change a lot of things, right? Totally. And I can see the comments now, and every single one of them is viable. If you paid for a game, and so your argument is I'm going to platinum this game because I spent my hard-earned money on it. Yep. That is completely viable, and it is something that we are honestly removed from, right? Jonathan being on editorial, me being on the gameplay team.
So I'm personally not, even though I did get my code early. Well,
and I was going to say that, Jonathan's on editorial. He's the host of Beyond, right? Like, we get games. I'm on our gameplay team. My job is literally to play video games. Jada, you're not. For one, you're new to IGN. And for two, you are not on a team that requires you to play a video game.
Technically not, yes. I mean, I assist in different areas, and I pitch in with a lot of content and ideas and stuff for that. But no, I'm not required to. The reason why I was saying I'm excluded from Horizon specifically is because I ponied up for the $300 Regala edition. So I have spent my hard-earned money for this one. So I will definitely also be looking at it as getting my money's worth. Even though I'll be giving the code away to my little brother or something, because I already have it installed on my console.
But no,
it's just something I wanted to bring up, because I have a group of friends. Like I said, I play a lot of games with my friend Aaron, who he has to pay $60, $70 every time he gets a game. So his thought process is like, I'm going to get my money's worth. And that is completely valid. And it is something that, like, I have to admit I am removed from. When I play a game and I go, I'm done with this. Yeah, I probably got the game for free, or I'm playing it on, you know, like, and so it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't. This conversation would probably be a lot different for three people who had to buy every single game.
For
like,
sure.
I just don't want to beat around the bush the privilege of getting the games for free.
Right. I mean, no, that's absolutely a good point to it. It's funny, I didn't see any comments regarding to like the purchase sort of incentive, but I think you're absolutely 100%.
I think the YouTube comments after they hear this conversation I get every platinum because I'm.
I saw one last week, because somebody was saying like 30, because we talked about like the length of finishing Horizon. It was like 35 hours, and somebody's like, that's 35 hours isn't enough. And like somebody's like, that's like, you know, paying $2 for each, you know, hour of entertainment, you know, is basically at $70 for the game and stuff like that. And somebody's like, I put 200 hours into the first Horizon because I love that game and I got my money's worth. So like, it's also, you know, it's to that degree, like everybody's going to.
It's all subjective for the person as well.
100%. It's very subjective.
Yeah. Yep.
And then before we move on, a couple things that trophy types that we need to just do away with going into 2022, 2023, anything RNG based. So anything where you have to like pull a random thing out of a like a loot box or something to get a trophy, because those rates can be abysmal. Anything that is so I'm not super upset about it, but like the Monster Hunter World and Iceborne, those are two platinums I wanted to get last year, but I literally created a notebook and a list of all the different monsters I would need to hunt to get the platinum trophy, because I've killed everything and made every armor, but you have to get these random spawns for the smallest version and the largest version that can potentially ever spawn. And it's random. Like, there's certain quests that boost the chances, but some of them are events. And so they come up like every like month, once a month or something like that for like 2 weeks. And so I added the list up, and I think it was like 63 different crowns I needed between miniature and large. So that's 63 minimal if I got them all on the first try, which isn't going to happen with after 300 hours. And I don't have these 63 out of like the, I don't know, like 120 crowns that I have. Like, I have like half of them. So RNG needs to go. And then RNG needs to go. And then difficulty trophies, when they either don't unlock the lower difficulty trophies, or when you're not able to play on the hardest difficulty right from the get go. If you're not able to play on the hardest difficulty from the get-go, that should be like one of those add-on trophies, kind of like how Ghost of Tsushima did it with Legends, and it has all those specific trophies for Legends, and Iki Island has its own specific trophies that doesn't affect the platinum.
Well, they and Spider-Man have done that really great thing. And I think even God of War did the New Game Plus thing where it's like, that's a bonus trophy post-launch. That's the best way to do difficulty trophies.
100%. Because I have a trophy. I played through South Park Fractured Butthole. And I know I said that wrong on purpose.
You did that on purpose. You didn't even try.
I didn't even try.
You're like the fractured
butthole.
So yeah.
But yeah, that one I played on, I think it was, I didn't realize when I picked it up, because I picked it up later, it was a DLC difficulty added, and it was like the token difficulty or whatever, I think is what it was called, because you know, Token's the only black kid in South Park, and life is harder for him than everybody else. And so I played on that difficulty, and it did not proc any of the trophies for the lower difficulties. So I'm literally missing all those trophies for this like 60-hour RPG that I went in and maxed everything out and did everything. I'm like, I'm not going to play through this again on a slightly harder difficulty where I have to go through and get like level up everybody again, because it's a harder difficulty. It's not like just running through it on easy. I'm like, oh, I don't have to worry about leveling anybody. Just throw whatever gear on them. I'm good to go. But yeah, those two type of trophies need to go. And then online server ones where those three need to go with the pandemic. Let those just die with the pandemic and just be rid of them.
Then it'll probably be a couple more years.
It probably will be.
But yes, no, I'm totally with you on all those. Just as an example, I have talked about it, how much I love that game. It's one of my favorite games of last year. Returnal is phenomenal, but some of the trophy hunting in that game is just totally left up to chance. And
the glyphs, yes.
Yeah, I just had to stop at some point. I wasn't getting lucky. Yeah,
87 hours for me. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's wild. I think
you gotta just move on.
20 of it came in the end of the year last year. I spent 20 hours hunting for the last like 6 glyphs I needed.
Yeah, but I think we kind of all came to the same agreement of like, if you're enjoying trophies, enjoy them. The second it stops being an enjoyment thing, take a step back from it. But like, I still love going for them. I still like trying to go for them. But if it ever becomes a thing where I'm playing a game and it feels like work, then I try to take a step back from it. But also, it can be a phenomenal way to get the most bang for your buck, especially, Mark, as you were pointing out, that can be a very important benefit of having that, especially with big games, like all the open world games we're looking at. Moving on from there, though, I do want to just quickly touch on all the news, like very quickly. But Mark, I know you were short on time today. Do you need to bounce?
No.
Okay, cool.
This is just eating into my lunch now, so it's no big deal.
Just take a bite of your sandwich on camera.
I already ate breakfast. What do you need lunch for?
That's
No. It's fine. It's really fun.
Let's just quickly go through it all then. Just to mention as a highlight, if you didn't happen to have known, or for some reason you have forsaken it, this week was the 10th anniversary of the PlayStation Vita launching in North America, and I'm trying to find my Vita because I put it by me for this very specific purpose.
I
just wanted to shout out this wonderful little guy. Hopefully he's not too dusty. I loved this Vita. I got it launch week at the Sony store in New York City. I went and I was like, I hope they have Vitas in stock. And guess what? They had a lot of Vitas in stock that week, unfortunately, which I probably should have realized meant something at the time. But Mark is just gone now. I loved the Vita so much during its life. I still hold on to this thing. I really adore its games. We should probably do some sort of retrospective soon, but we wanted to have this chat this week. But yeah, there we go.
Hey.
It's always in my background, but the way my camera is set up, like, you don't really see it, but it's in the background of my shot every single week. Nice. She's a little dusty though.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
I have not turned her on in a while, but she's there. She exists.
Oh yeah. A lot of Vita love here. I think Jada is going to get hers, I assume.
No, Jada just left.
Yeah, Jada's just done with the show.
She's like, I hate Vita.
I'm going to segue to the next topic slowly in case she is able to get back before I do, but she might not be able to. So
She's digging in a garage right now.
She's in a different... She had to drive to a storage locker. As we mentioned at the top of the show, Cyberpunk is out on PS5. The PS5 native version is out. The new patch is out for it. It comes with some tweaks and some updates. A lot of it seems to be more cosmetic and quality of life stuff. You can get... There we go.
Bam. Oh,
that's a good carrying case.
Oh, that's a good case. Look at that.
Nice. That's really good.
See, I don't have any games for my Vita.
All of mine are digital.
I got Soul Sacrifice, Corpse Party, Blood Drive, Final Fantasy X, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which is part of the reason why I brought up that dang online trophy. And there it is.
That makes sense.
There's my baby.
I got a copy of Freedom Wars here. But yeah, as I was mentioning, the PS5 native version of Cyberpunk is out. If you are interested in trying it out, what did you do?
Last thing, I promise. Okay. My only physical Vita game is Freedom Wars, signed by Greg Miller and Colin Moriarty.
Of course.
Nice.
I mean, Freedom Wars is, central to the Beyond legacy, I think. Other than that, I've only really been able to turn it on for a little bit. I want to play more this week and this weekend, so I don't really have like full impressions of the PS5 version. It certainly feels like it's running better than I heard the PS4 version did. Mm-hmm. But Mark, I just want to get your quick thoughts, because you had sort of summed up, I think, who this is probably for right now and who it isn't.
Cyberpunk, it's a weird one, right? Because there was no native PS5 version, but it is one of those rare games that it did have an unlocked frame rate on PS5 that didn't exist even on PS4 Pro, right? On PS4 Pro and PS4, it runs at 30, where on PS5, it did run at 60. So it's like, it was not a PS5 version, but that was the best platform for it as far as the slew of PlayStation consoles. Yeah, the game's gotten a lot of fixes over the years, or over the year and a half or whatever it's been out. I did jump into the PS5 version. I wouldn't say it feels like dramatically different. There is like a ray tracing mode now, which I think feels awful because it adds a ton of input lag. But as far as like the updates, I jumped into Cyberpunk and I was like, this is Cyberpunk. Like the UI is the same. The biggest changes are like you can get an apartment now. Cool. That's fine. Doesn't compel me to replay the game. The skill trees are different. Great. That's awesome.
Skip the like brain dance tutorial.
Can you? Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Wait.
I thought
you could do that. The first one with Judy. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you would do that if it was your first playthrough. That's a fun one to play. But so basically my thing is like I've beat Cyberpunk. This does not compel me to go back and play it. It's not different enough, in my opinion. I think it's setting the stage for the expansions, which if people are like, why would they release Cyberpunk a couple of days before Horizon? Why would they release this big patch? Because I think this big patch is just to set the stage for an expansion that comes out in like a month or so. Like, I think they have to get this out of the door. Get all this goodwill, right? Like yesterday was a day full of goodwill for this game. People were very excited. The streams did amazing when it comes to views. Like a lot of people were there to watch it. Our news stories did super well. Like the hype was there yesterday. And then the game went on sale, right? It was sponsored on the PlayStation Store for like $25. So I'm sure a lot of people are playing Cyberpunk, and I think they use this to drum up the hype to get people there to then in a month or so when it's quieter, it'll be like, and here's the first expansion.
It also lets them quality test this patch so that when people come back for that expansion, if they still need to do some updates and tweaks and things, they now have that time. Like it benefits them in a lot of ways. So yeah, I think from what you were saying, and Jade, I know you've played a lot as well, but it seems like right now this patch is more for like if you dropped Cyberpunk very early, or if you didn't try it at all and want to finally jump in on console, now is sort of the time to do it. But if you are a person who played through it a lot, maybe wait until the next big expansion.
Yeah,
you are getting a better version of the game if this is your first time playing it. You're getting a better version than the version we all played. But as someone who has played the game, this alone does not compel me to come back almost at all.
Yeah, I played for 40 hours on launch. It crashed every hour on the hour for me at launch. So I booted it up yesterday and I played for about an hour and a half. Didn't get a single crash. So it is, for me, objectively better. One thing I do want to like really celebrate is I didn't have to end up re-downloading my PS4 version because I lost my PS4 version on a hard drive that died between Cyberpunk coming out and PS4 and PS5 coming out. I lost that hard drive that it was installed on. So I just downloaded the PS5 version. I was like, whatever, I'll just start a new file just to see what it's like. And it had a continue option. I was able to load up my character. There was no going into the PS4 version, upload your save file. Okay, now start the PS5 version, download your save file.
Yeah, all my saves were there.
Yeah, all my stuff was there, which was really cool. So I'm really excited that they like kind of cracked that for cross-generation saves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure part of it goes with that I was playing the PS4 version on PS5 and not on a PS4 and then going to a PS5 and playing a PS5 version. But that was really cool.
That was also the situation for me. Just it's, as it a seems PSA.
Like, yeah, it, like, detected the local saves, but not every game does that. You do have to upload PS4 saves a lot for PS5 games. Yep. So that's cool to know that's there.
But the skill tree thing kind of bugged me because it unleveled all my characters. I was like, I have no idea what skills I had before. So I had to go through. I spent 20 minutes of that hour and a half just in my tree.
They explained that on the stream. There was no way for us to update this without make that stuff carry over.
Like, yeah, for sure. I get it.
they were like, we just have to reset them.
Yep. Yeah. I just wish the one thing they would have added was the ability to craft more than one item at once. I really hate when you can't just like craft in a menu. When you're in a menu, it pauses the game and you're crafting and it's like, I want to craft 10 of these med kits. Like, nope, you've got to craft them one at a time.
That is a small Horizon thing as well for me. I hope that when you craft at a bench, you can just craft all in a future update for your ammo types and your potions and stuff instead of manual each one. But
I think it's tricky with Horizon because of the fact that they're like so different amounts. Like you like, I can craft like 8 tripwires at once, or I can craft 4 bombs at once. So like, I guess like, I don't know. I agree that there is a solution to make that less tedious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on from there, but speaking of Horizon, Horizon is planting a tree for everyone up to, I think, a few hundred thousand people who earn a trophy in the game. I believe it is a pretty early trophy in the game.
It is.
From our experience.
I think it's just getting to the daunt.
It's literally finish the tutorial.
Just play the first couple hours of Horizon and you plant a tree. You do some good. But also you'll be getting into some really great stuff as you go do that. So yeah.
It's also a pretty good game.
Yes. Yeah. We like it a little bit. But yeah, that's a really cool initiative to see them doing. And also on the Horizon note, very, very excited, Jonathan. There is a Horizon official Lego set. This actually got leaked a couple months back and I was really hopeful it was going to happen. There's apparently been a leak for an Uncharted 4 set as well. I stay up on Lego leaks apparently, but it's a tall neck. It's a Lego tall neck with an Aloy minifig and also a little like watcher that you can build in there. It's really cute. Yep. It's really cool. I hope this means we get more Horizon machines as official Lego sets.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, that's super cool.
They're perfect.
For I love that.
Adults welcome. I love that on the trailer. It's
part of this Lego line that's like, yeah, we're for adults now. It's like, the adults have been using Legos for all of time. But I
really wanted the Titanic one because I'm a huge Titanic fan, but it was like $600. Yeah. This, I think, is only $60, which is, for 80. Legos, honestly, is it 80?
I believe it's 80. I think it's 70 or 80.
Which isn't bad for the amount of pieces.
Yes.
For Legos, like, it's still reasonable. I take my nephew, we go to Target and he like, I want to look at the Legos, and I'm like, that's $95 for that X-Wing, buddy. I don't know about that one.
I believe this one is did you say 80, Jada?
I see there's 70 or 80 if I remember correctly.
It's in that range. I believe it's around 1100 pieces, and for that price range, that's
1222 if I remember right. I'm going like off of just pure memory of looking.
Sounds
at
a little
things,
there are definitely twos in there somewhere. Yes. I remember that but couldn't remember the exact number either.
Two's confirmed.
It's a pretty good price range because, Mark, you're totally right, there is a Lego tax for Star Wars and Harry Potter and Marvel sets. They are absolutely more expensive. It's very very weird. Anyway, also, just as a heads up, on the PlayStation production side of things, the movie and TV side, Uncharted is out this week. You can go check out the IGN review. None of us have seen it, so we can't give you our thoughts on it at the moment. But there is a cool new pre-roll that will, you know, be their studio production sort of pre-roll for their movies and stuff. It's a cool little look at a bunch of key PlayStation figures in sort of like 3D printing laser sort of statue looking things. You got Aloy, Sackboy, Astrobot, Uncharted, The Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, all represented in there. I don't think I'm missing anything. Ratchet and Clank as well. Kratos, thank you, God of War. His axe is a really cool moment in that. It's a cool little thing that we'll see ahead of them. I hope it means we're getting movies and TV of all of those, but that's new as well. And speaking of PlayStation movies and TV, there's a big television press thing going on at the moment, not worth getting into the specifics of that, but during the HBO focus presentations, Casey Bloys, one of the heads of HBO, pretty much said they're not expecting The Last of Us to come out on HBO until 2023, so we won't be getting that this year.
Just too bad. I would have loved, because I don't think we're going to get Witcher Season 3 this year.
No.
And I think they've said that. And I would have loved for, like, The Witcher is like this Christmas break television show for me. And yeah. I was kind of expecting Last of Us to be like holiday, and that would have been awesome.
I thought it was going to be a really good like fall sort of release.
Yeah, like late
October, November. Yeah, but yeah. Maybe it'll be early next year. But hopefully we'll see it when it's ready, of course. as we wrap up, Mark, anything you want to point people to go check out?
Yes. So Horizon Forbidden West is a video game that many people will be playing very soon. There was the embargo on Monday, which was the review and like graphics comparison and stuff like that. That is an embargo I was only able to contribute one video to, because that embargo was very limited. Tomorrow is my embargo and our wikis team. Everything we've been working towards is allowed to post tomorrow. So it'll be like 3 a.m. tomorrow is when we're allowed to, because that's when the game technically comes out.
It starts to be available in different territories. So yeah, slowly things will come out. Obviously, not things that will spoil anyone.
No spoilers. Me and Dornbush are working on a video right now where we were like, should we include these couple things? And I'm like, no, because even the game is out in like, I think it's like Australia, right? At like 3 a.m. San Francisco time tomorrow. But most people still don't get the game till 9 p.m. tomorrow, you know, midnight, all that stuff, depending on what time zone you're in.
Yeah.
And so honestly, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't want to show anybody anything of the game, but that's literally not our job. Like,
but we've tried to keep it as spoiler-free as possible for late-game stuff. Like, you're not going to see anything too late in the game. We really do want to preserve that stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some really cool videos that I've been working on that I want people to watch. But I hope that you guys are all staying spoiler-free on Twitter. I know Twitter is kind of a cesspool right now. But when it comes to spoilers. Yeah. And there's just a few things that us as a company, we decided we're not going to show. And so none of my videos will have any of that. So look to IGN tomorrow for some really fun Horizon stuff.
I was just going to say, there's been stuff that's been tweeted out because we're allowed to talk about some things that are pretty late in the game, but don't want to, is sort of the approach.
It's just us as an outlet decided to not. The people that are talking about certain things are well within their rights to. That's absolutely totally fine. We just decided not to. But yeah, also, I really hope people enjoy the game. We won't get to talk to you all again until you've all had a few days with it. So I am very excited this weekend to see everybody's reactions on Twitter. I think you guys are going to like it. It's a special game.
Absolutely. Yep. Jada, anything on your end to plug before we head off?
So I'm going to plug a couple shout outs for people in our audience that have been, you know, super awesome in the comments section. So first off, Danny, thank you very much. You are awesome. I'm glad you're loving the show. Thank you for all the compliments. I am going to keep on smiling because you appreciate my smile. So I'm going to keep smiling. Reed Scriven, thank you. I love giving in these deep dives. Hope you enjoyed today's Sifu deep dive. We're going to try and do more of this type of stuff. Samantha Chandler loved all of our takes on Horizon and just how much passion we showed for Forbidden West. So thank you for enjoying it. Strip of Paper, really enjoyed listening to Mark talk about the scroll guy and how Aloy just put up with his nonsense. So
God, I can't wait. I can't wait for people to see stuff like that.
It's going
to
be so great. And there's so many more people that I want to call out, but and that's why I've been looking at my phone for the last like 2 minutes or so, because I'm trying to find as many people that are just giving out awesome kudos. And so thank you all in our audience for the YouTube and Twitter and all our audio listeners. So I haven't had a chance to dive in. I'm not sure. Do we have like a way of seeing like
the audio comments? No, we didn't. Yeah, we do not have.
We don't have audio comments. So if you are an audio listener and you want to get a shout out or leave some feedback for us, please just drop onto the YouTube video or on Twitter, any of our Twitter pages, and just tag us and let us know that you're loving what we're doing. And we'll try and give you guys some shout outs too, because I really want to reward our audio listeners too, because they get kind of like, they don't get the cool graphics and the things that we kind of get to see and play off of. And I want someone to reward them, because, you know, I really appreciate all of them out there.
Well, and of course, if you want to reach out to any of us, you can find us all on Twitter at JMDormish for me, at Mark_Medina for Mark, and at Jada_Rena for Jada. And yeah, thank you to everyone out there who's been supporting the show and who enjoyed the spoiler-free discussion of Horizon. A lot more exciting games to jump into over the coming weeks, but that's going to do it for us on this week's episode. Thank you again to all of you for joining me. And thank you to Kate, our producer, for making the show happen. And thank you to everyone out there for listening and watching. We hope you're doing well. We hope you're staying safe. And as always, beyond.
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 IGN FanFest, a massive event celebrating the biggest names in games and entertainment. And it's all powered by you, the fans. Join us for exclusive new looks and deep dives on the most exciting things you can't wait for this year.
I just got goosebumps.
Brand new gameplay, sneak peeks, stars, and your biggest questions answered. IGN FanFest kicks off on February 19th at 11 a.m. Pacific, so don't miss a second of it.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.